Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death.
You may be seated. It's the time in our service for the children's moment. So we invite all kids to come on up quickly and safely. Find a place to sit right down here in front.
Joseph, where is everybody? Okay, I have a question for you. How many of you like to play hide and seek? Do you have a story or anything like that about hide and seek? Well, I do. I always do. We used to play hide and seek when I was a child all the time. Instead of turning on our iPad or the television or something like that, the minute that supper was over, out we'd all go, and everybody in the neighborhood would gather, and you'd decide that somebody was it. And from then on, until it got so dark and Mom called and made you come in, that's what we used to do. Well, I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't know. God played hide and seek. And I'm going to read it to you from the Bible. In Genesis, it tells you, then the man and his wife, you know who I'm talking about? Who am I talking about?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Now, you told me you were talking about Adam and Eve. Why were they hiding? Why do you think they felt like they had to hide from God? You don't know the rest of the story? You know, God had told them, you can do anything you want to in the Garden of Eden, but you can't eat from this tree. So the one thing, of course, that they wanted to do was eat from that tree. And they did that. Then they realized that God had told them that and that they had sinned. They had not done what he had told them to do. And so they hid. Now, do you think God had to say, "Where are you?" No. He didn't have to. He knew where it is. So why? Why did God say, "Where are you?" Any thoughts? Well, God said, "Where are you?" so that Adam and Eve could come back on their own. You know, people hide from God all the time. Ever since Adam and Eve, so often we hide from God. And you don't think very much about it, but God continues to seek you and to seek you. And you know, what he wants to say to you is, "Ali, ali, oxen free." You ever heard that? You ever heard that? You ever played hide and seek where when you finally couldn't find somebody, you yelled out, "Ali, ali, oxen free!" Yeah. Well, see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to say to you, you realize that you made a mistake, come back to me. And in order that he could do that, God sent Jesus. And Jesus came and taught us about God. He never hurt a soul, and he helped lots and lots of people. And that's really what God wants for you. Is for you to live, or let him live in your heart. So that he can say to you when you make a mistake and you say, "I'm sorry." He can say to you, "Ali, ali, oxen free, I want you back." And I don't suppose you'll maybe think about that the next time that you go play hide and seek, but it just seemed to fit kind of what Pastor Scott's going to talk about today. God loves you. He wants to live in your heart. If you go straying, he wants you to come back to say, "I want to be with you." His love is so great and he wants each one of us to be his own. Let's pray. Precious Lord, you sent us Jesus. He showed us how to live. He died to give you the right to say Ali Ali Atum free. We thank you for your love, and we love you in return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's just take a moment to stand and reach out to those around us, say hello, good morning, God bless you. We'll return to our singing in just a minute.
Good morning, you may be seated. That song reminds me, the purpose of God's gospel coming to us is not that we are happy. That's a consequence, that's a byproduct. The purpose God shares his gospel with us is so that we may be holy, like he is holy. That's why we're here. That's why we worship him. He has made available to us every single spiritual resource that we can live as we should. As we gather today, we certainly celebrate with Steve Cartwright that his hip replacement surgery went well. And certainly we rejoice with little Oscar being here with us, that Aubrey obviously is lacking attention. And so, you know, we certainly can identify with Aubrey. We've all felt that way from time to time. Steve is hips recovering well. The rest of the body needs to catch up with all of the coming off of anesthesia and the mix of medications that he's taking. So pray for Steve and Jan that he will soon be able to function well, and we'll be here standing in the congregation to proclaim God's goodness. We certainly rejoice in the way that life keeps coming at us. May we always be mindful that life is not about this physical existence. It's about the spiritual connection we have with God, of knowing Him and seeing Him work in our life. All the rest of this stuff is just circumstances. It's just challenges that are designed for us to know Him and His power. That's why we're here. Let us look to the Lord. Father, we thank You on a day like this, a beautiful day, that we can gather to worship You. For there is nowhere else we could go to find salvation. Oh Lord, forgive us for those times that we forget and treat it like it's no big deal, that You bore the full brunt of the weight of sin as You went to an excruciating death on a cross, so that we may have the opportunity for newness of life, the forgiveness of sins, hope everlasting, if we believe. Lord, we rejoice in what You have done in our midst. We will pray that You will continue to work in our midst. We rejoice with a good report for Steve. Lord, I just want to lift up Zach, a man who wants to live for You, who wants to go proclaim Your word, but he has terrible physical struggles. Lord, with the brain cancer and some of the things that go along that affect other parts of his body, I just ask You to encourage his heart. You know he's trusting You. May he realize this day mercy, relief from the physical maladies, that he can, with a smile on his face, proclaim the goodness of God. Lord, we thank You that we are here. We pray for today, that as we fellowship with one another downstairs, and then as we meet, Lord, and we talk about those things that are going on here in the church and will be going on, we pray that we honor You, that we are submissive to Your will, and that we are only doing those things that You have told us to do. Because, Lord, left to our own, we can't help but go astray. But in submission to You, all things are possible. Lord, in Your power, in Your name, we ask You to be with us. We ask You to find our worship pleasing and acceptable in Your sight. And as we open the Word, may its truth resonate and fill our lives, that we will be changed. And in so being, that we may impact others for the kingdom of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The world had a hold of me.
broken sky, traced out by the city lights, mallow full a mile high, messy in the house tonight. Dutch down on the cold black tile, hold on to the sudden stop, breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl in our eyes meet. Does her best smile at me, it's how it's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Been there a million times, couple million eyes, just moving past me by, I swear, never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, give me a second chance, see the way you see the people alone. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Gives me pleasure to say we have just been touched by grace. The simplicity of the power of being able to see people for who they are and what their need really is something that should grab our hearts and never let us go. God's provision for our salvation does not come from Jesus' perfect teaching. It does not come from his perfect life. It comes because of his perfect sacrifice. Last week, we looked at the struggle in Romans chapter 7. And though I didn't give the ending away, other than to say next week we're going to talk about the victory, last week was the struggle. This week is the victory. Romans chapter 8. In verse 1, please join me in your Bibles there. If you don't have one, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. I would certainly encourage you to gravitate there. It's somewhere around page 840-841 there in the Pew Bible. If you have your own Bible, you're on your own. I don't know what page it's on. Number one, let us see exclaiming our reality in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For all believers in Jesus Christ, this verse is for you. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, as Paul is talking about this, you look, and how does the verse start? It starts with a great big therefore. Now, obviously, as we look back to chapter 7, he's not talking about salvation in chapter 7. So what Paul is referencing here is not just the immediate context. He's going all the way back. And he is saying, based on everything I have said about salvation in this letter up to this point, leads us to the conclusion, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the way that it absolutely has to be. Christ came to die for sin, that man could be saved. In so doing, that had to be finished. It had to be completed. God had to be satisfied. Otherwise, why send your son to die if it's only temporary? That wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. But the reality is, this is God's plan of salvation. This is how it really works. That Jesus destroyed sinfulness, the sin nature in sinful man. He put to death sin in us, that we would no longer face the penalty of that sin. Because any sin that you or I will do, whether it's in the past, whether it's in the present, and so if somebody's got a thought that's going somewhere, bring it back on track. Don't have any sins here in the present, and don't have any in the future. But if you do, it's already covered. This isn't talking about the consequences of sin. This isn't talking about the problems we can run into, the wake that we will leave. That's a good nautical term, wake. You know, Clear Lakeians would enjoy that. Did we have this idea that this isn't saying there isn't trouble because of our sin? No, this is talking about condemnation. You know, the word there, katakrina, is one of those words that is not talking so much about the judgment on the sin, which would deserve death, but it's dealing with the consequences of its payment, of making sure that what is done. And that is where to be in Jesus Christ means there is no condemnation, because the penalty has already been paid for. The debt has been satisfied completely, forever. So that for the believer, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. It doesn't say those that are with Christ, those that are by Christ, those who think he's a nice guy, those who know something about Christ. No, it's speaking of that mystical, spiritual experience that some way or another, when we believe in Jesus, we are united
in him, and he is in us. And for those that are in Christ, there is no condemnation. How do we know this? John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus' own words on the subject. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I just want to shake your memory a little bit about how we've talked about if it's eternal life, it can't be shorter than eternity, or that's a lie. The only way that God can give us eternal life and it is eternal is if it is eternal. Otherwise, it's something else. It's something short of that. Well, God can't lie. His word can't lie. So we know it's true. Jesus has said, if you believe in me, you have eternal life. You are no longer under condemnation. You cannot be held to account for your sin, for that debt has already been paid. And of course, that is the reason that we, those of us that have been brought into a relationship with Christ and have been united in Christ, this verse should cause us to jump up and say, hallelujah. If anybody wants to do that, go ahead. We're a tame bunch today, aren't we? Okay, exhibiting the reason, verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death here is simply that old sin nature that is within us. It's the natural state in which we were born that seeks to always have dominion, rule, authority over our lives. And though we're powerless to do anything about it, God is going to supply the power through the Holy Spirit to destroy sin's authority, to enslavement, and instead to place us under the authority of the Holy Spirit for now, whom we should live. We have been set free from sin's rule, and our lives are now that we would choose to live under the Spirit, living for Christ. Those two things are equivalent. To live under the authority of the Spirit is to live for Christ. Those are equal. The difficulty we have is with the Western mindset, and I can't speak that much about our Canadian brothers to the north, but let me just assume here in the United States that which I know. When we have been set free from the dominion of sin and death in our lives, then we as Americans love to think, well, good, now I'm free to be able to do what I want to do. And it's like, no, that's taking you right back under the authority of sin and death in your life. It's giving sin and death dominion once again because you're doing exactly what sin and death wants you to do. Anytime you're doing things your own way, it's wrong. And you see, for us in the United States, we hate to hear that. Is there anybody here who doesn't hate that? See? Point proven. We hate it. With every facet of our being, Lord, I want to be free. This is America, and we love being free in America. We just passed on Monday a national holiday in which gives us all the proof we need. Freedom isn't free. Freedom doesn't exist for us to do what we want. Freedom exists so that we have opportunity to do what we should. And therein we can see that with freedom, there is no freedom for the human soul. For the freedom of the human soul means that it can choose to be under the authority of sin and death, or under the authority of the Holy Spirit or Christ. That's it. You know, you can just take your United States mindset that I'm just going to travel this line in between sin and death and living for Christ, and I'm just going to cruise on until I come to a question or a little tough spot in the road, and then at that point, I'm going to jump over here with Jesus because he'll keep me safe. That highway, that lane does not exist. You're either under the authority of sin and death, or you are under the authority of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Period. There is no third choice. There is no other option. And why do I keep saying this so many times? Because we in the United States, we love our freedom. Freedom means we now have the ability, we have the right to choose to do what we should. And within that, of course, instead of struggling in what we saw last week in chapter 7, we trust the Holy Spirit and embrace the opportunity to live for him, in which he is saying, you got spiritual victory, which is awesome. Okay, explaining the result in verses 3 and 4. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Let me just read that last phrase again. Who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, jumping back up there a little bit, we can see that Paul is grabbing the struggle from chapter 7 and pulling it forward to tell us again. Within the midst of that struggle is frustration, is pain, is exhaustion that awaits anyone who, after receiving salvation in Christ, is yielding themselves again to sin's dominion, sin's rule, sin's authority over them. Doesn't make any sense. That's a pretty pathetic way to live. Christ died to put to death sin in sinful man, so that we have been freed in this battle. Now, it's very important for us to realize it is God's will that we have this struggle with sin. And you're thinking, well, that doesn't seem very nice. What are we supposed to do with this life? To know him and his power. All of the other stuff, all of the material things, all of the physical things in this life are not what it's about. It's about knowing him and experiencing his power in our life. If you took the struggle with sin out of our lives, why would we seek him? Why would we want to see the power, his power evidenced in our lives?
The only way that we can grab a hold of this and go, oh, wow, now it makes sense. God has left us here, this process of sanctification, this living out of our salvation in our daily lives, is so that we can know him and his power. So it fits the purpose and the will of God that this struggle exists. It also exists within the will of God that we are powerless to do anything about this in our own strength. That if we are going to be successful, if we are going to gain victory, it is because we are willing to yield to the one who has the right and authority over us. Wow, there we go again. That's one of those, yield, submit. Not for us good Americans. Man, this is the crux of the reason that so many struggle. As a nation, we struggle to see clarity in Christian witness in our culture, in which people can go, man, that's the real deal, and I got to get me some of that. It's because we get so caught up in the material, we get so caught up in the physical, and it's like, yeah, I've got Jesus, but I'm also a champion of the American dream. And that kind of runs into conflict with what God is trying to tell us. All that really matters in life is to know me and to know my power. And so he set us in the midst of a struggle so that it becomes perfectly clear. Without him, we fail. And with him, we win. Wow! And it's sun shining outside. Throw a smile on your face. Man, yeah, let's talk about the victory. Let's talk about the win. Yeah, that's good Americans. We like to win. Okay, so we can see that Paul is seeing this. That we believe Christ died for our sins, and in so doing, the penalty of sin on our lives was eradicated. Yet in this life, we continue to battle against power, which is the will of God. We try to live according to the natural power that is within us. We are going to do nothing more than serve sin, period. We do not have the power in our own natural selves to win this fight. And yet we just said we want to win. Right? We're Americans. We want to win. So within that, we've got to then submit to the power of the Spirit in our lives. And victory is not just a possibility. It is assured for all who live thusly. So then, and I'd be talking to myself, okay? Put me out here with you. I'm not talking at you, I'm talking with you. If somebody else was delivering this message and I was sitting there with you, this would be me. So then, why so many with your heads down? That some way or another, you're not going to be found out. That we've got this absolute truth declaring the victory we have in Jesus Christ is available to each and every believer if we will but appropriate the immense, innumerable, powerful resources of God he's made available in our lives to choose to walk with the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit in our lives. We don't feel much like it. Within our human experience, it is so easy for us to go, oh, I just want to go to church and just feel good because in that struggle, I lose too many times. You're in good company. I'm not saying look around. We're all feeling like we're struggling. That this is a real battle, because it's like, Scott, I know more about Jesus Christ and living according to his resources than I am functionally doing in my life on a consistent basis, period. I'm not making this part interactive, but if I did, every single one of us would raise our hand. Okay? Now, I've already explained to you this struggle is the will of God, that we face this struggle, but it is also the will of God that we face life with encouragement, with motivation, with a glad heart, with some motivation to move on and say, God, maybe this hasn't gone so well so far, but I can do better starting right now. I can just face up and say, Lord, you know, I so easily go astray. But Lord, I am going to determine that I am going to trust you for the rest of this day. I'm going to trust you for this week. And I'm going to come back and remind myself. And every time I trip up, rather than going, oh, why try? I'm going to mess up. No, I'm going to say that was just once. And I'm going to come to you, Lord, and I'm going to confess it. And I'm going to try to live under the power of your Spirit more. This is what the Lord is looking for. This is why the Lord had Paul deliver this message to us. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Boy, it is so difficult for us that we will, the worst thing we can do is to wallow in our misery of, oh, I'm losing this struggle. Today is the day we should all stand and shout. Today is the day we should put a smile on our face. Today is the day we should find encouragement in our hearts, that we can begin living victoriously by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, placing ourselves under the authority of Christ in our lives today. We should be and can be encouraged to know there's no condemnation. Okay. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, you can face condemnation or you can not face condemnation. I mean, is not facing condemnation kind of scary? And not facing condemnation a big relief? Amen? Okay, so within that, shouldn't we find some motivation right there? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's us. Woo! That's the part, you know, stand and shout. They may be slow, Lord, but they're getting it. Let me ask you a question. And this part is interactive. This part is asking you to participate. This part is asking you to respond if you so choose. How many of you want to be spiritually victorious? Okay, I didn't have a chance to catch anybody that didn't raise their hand, but if you didn't, are you just not paying attention? Everybody wants to be spiritually victorious. If I was to pull 100 unbelievers,
100 of them would say, I want to be spiritually victorious, whatever that is. Because we're Americans and we love to win. We can see that it's here that God wants us to find ourselves today. Because if you have just admitted, and you have, that you want to be spiritually victorious, stop and realize just for a moment, it's not going to be up to your parents for you to be spiritually victorious. It's not up to your friends for you to be spiritually victorious. And in fact, it's not even up to you to be spiritually victorious. It's up to the Holy Spirit. Now, it does require that we're willing. Anybody here willing to be victorious? Okay, so this is where we need to find ourselves. Maybe we aren't doing as good as we could. Maybe we could put a little bit more blood, sweat, and tears into this life that God has given us the opportunity to choose to live under the authority of the Holy Spirit instead of under the authority of sin and death. We need to know Jesus came and died for us. We need to know he put to death sin in sinful man. That's all of us. And we need to know that we need to rise up and take hold of the victory which is found in living in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the unbelievable promise. Whew, we are freed from condemnation. Lord, may we reflect on what you did to bring us that reality. You died a horrible death. May we be willing to give up those things we try to hold on to for ourselves, that we sometimes justify, downplay the fact it's nothing more than aligning ourselves with sin and death. We don't want to do that. We want to win. We want to be spiritually victorious. We can't do it, but you in us not only can, but will. May we move forward with that hope in Christ's name. Amen.
I feel like I need to shout, yoo-hoo, but reading the words of institution from Matthew. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I'll not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless this bread and cup, symbols of your body and blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. To all that believe, you are our Lord and Savior. As we gather here today, we remember you left eternal glory to be broken and bruised and hung on a cross to pay for all our sins so we could be forgiven and come to live with you. Let us live to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Two things quickly. One, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And number two, there is victory in living according to the Spirit. Therefore, if you know Jesus, lose the long face. This is about victory. This is about winning. This is about celebration. If you don't know Jesus, then I would love to show you from the Word of God how you can lose that long face forever. Now would be the appropriate time. Haven't done this before. For you to stand and shout and tell the Lord whatever you want to tell him right now. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Boy, I tell you what. I would really hate it if you were my 2-year-old and you started wandering out into the street. And I said, no, don't go out into the street. And you go, what? You talking to me? Are you talking to me? The Lord is good. He requires our will to submit to him. That's all it takes. You want victory? That's what it takes. The victory is on him. It's what he's due to give you. You just need to give him the authority to do that. Lord, we thank you. You have loved us beyond measure. Taken us from brokenness and enslavement and given us freedom to know you and your power. May we use it to see spiritual fruit in and through us, that we may stand here in the congregation and testify of what you are going to do in our lives this week. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me.
Thank you for being with us this morning. Have a great day. Have a great week. Hope to see you next Sunday.